This is your host, Michelle, and you're listening to Old TV with a New Twist. Let's see what classic television show we're watching and talking about this week. Everyone, and welcome to episode 36 of Old TV with a New Twist. Today is the first time we're revisiting a show that we already did. My co-host, my daughter Eden, was here for the show New Heart, and we did the pilot. Now we're fast forwarding 8 years and we're going to do the finale. Welcome, woo-hoo! Eden.
Thank you.
This is also the culmination of a little bit of a little Bob Newhart extravaganza, because yes, we watched the Bob Newhart show. I think now you know why I had to have you watch that one before you watch this one.
Yes.
We'll discuss that. This is also Eden Buck's 10th time.
Woohoo!
She holds a huge record here. 10 times. Wow. Mm-hmm. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a great thing. It's a fantastic thing.
This is the girl who told me a year ago, or a little over a year ago, Mom, I don't want to do a podcast with you.
I don't. I still don't, guys. Spoiler alert. Still don't want to do a podcast. Not my podcast. But we do the things for our parents.
That's right.
And it's always fun. It really is.
It is. Just a little repeat. The show Newhart ran for 8 seasons from 1982 to 1990, 184 episodes, and we are going to talk about the 184th episode.
Wow.
Cleverly, the title of this episode is The Last Newhart.
Yep.
And it aired May 21st, 1990.
I was just a wee little baby.
You were just months old, Eden, little bitty. Now, like we just said, Eden watched the pilot episode of this show, and now you watched the final episode. What are the major differences that you see here?
I mean, lots. I mean, everybody's dressed better except for Dick, Bob Newhart. I feel like he's dressed pretty much the same. He didn't really change much. I recognized him right off the bat.
Might have been the same clothes.
Yeah. He looked exactly the same. I didn't even recognize his wife, Joanna. I thought that was the maid, Stephanie. And I was like, oh, Stephanie's dressed better. And then I realized that was Joanna. But Stephanie was also dressed better.
That was a different person. The girl who was the maid in the pilot episode was Leslie Vanderkellen.
Oh.
This is her cousin, Stephanie Vanderkellen.
Okay. You know, I knew she looked different, but I thought it was just the 8 years talking to me.
It's a different person.
Or the 7 years. Okay. And I know George was the same person, mm-hmm, and he was also dressed better. Lots of new characters we saw that I hadn't seen before. Stephanie and Michael, right, her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Larry and Daryl, and Daryl looked so familiar. And I was like, how do I know these? And I turned to you in the middle of the show. I was like, are they on something else?
I think they were, but I can't remember what show. I think I remember them putting in an appear. Oh, I think it was Coach. Because Coach exists in the same universe as Newhart.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know?
Maybe so.
But the thing about Larry, Daryl, and Daryl is two of them don't speak. Mm-hmm. Never spoke, mm-hmm, for 8 years.
Mm-hmm. So they were in the show for all 8 years?
They were in the show. It was supposed to be a one-off. They, mm-hmm, were going to be in one episode, just this crazy woodsman, you know, hi, I'm Larry, my other brother Daryl. Which I think is part of the lexicon now. Everybody knows Larry, my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl.
If you would have told me it would have come up in the show, I would have been like, oh my gosh, really? Like, that's weird, because I would have thought it was from something else.
Yeah.
Something more my time.
Yeah. This is where it originated.
Yeah. And definitely watching the finale more so than the first episode, I recognized a lot. I recognized Stephanie and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I recognized Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. I definitely was like, oh, I've seen this show before. Whereas with the first episode, the pilot, I didn't recognize anything. I was like, I've never seen this show before. I don't know. But now I'm thinking I maybe have seen some reruns of the later seasons.
Yeah, you've seen later episodes. Mm-hmm. The thing about Larry, Daryl, and Daryl was that any time Larry, Daryl, and Daryl enter a scene, the audience breaks out in applause. Just when they walk in the door, every single time. I've watched some interviews that Bob Newhart did about it. And he said, I would always have to be positioned like behind the desk or somewhere, or I could have some kind of cards or busy work in front of me, because there was going to be a lull for the audience to applaud when Larry, Daryl, and Daryl walked in every time. They didn't applaud every time George walked in. They didn't applaud every time anybody else walked in. Mm-hmm. Just those three.
And that's, I noticed that when they walked out, I noticed that the crowd went wild. And so I was like, that's what made me think they must be from something else. Like, they must be independently famous. You know how, like, when a celebrity makes a guest appearance on a show, as soon as they come in, the crowd goes wild. That's what I thought. I was like, oh, they must be famous from something else. And they just made an appearance in the finale. But no, they're from that show. That's amazing.
That
they garner that kind of reaction every time they show up in an episode.
And Stephanie has taken the place of her cousin, Leslie Vanderkellen. Mm-hmm. She's just as wealthy. Remember, Leslie was very rich. And she offended you because she said,
I want to work for what I got.
I want to know what it's like to be normal. Now, Stephanie, you would love. Stephanie is...
has no desire, it seems.
Don't want to work. Pampered, spoiled. Michael is perfect for her because he pampers and spoils her and calls her cupcake and muffin and all these
things.
They
have all kinds of names.
His way of speaking is funny.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So they are very much, that's pretty much the cast now. It's Dick and Joanna, mm-hmm. and it's still George Utley, the caretaker. Stephanie and Michael. Stephanie lives there as the maid.
Did Michael live there as well?
Once they got married, they lived in like a little carriage house. That's part of the inn.
Okay.
And then Larry, Daryl, and Daryl. And then the townspeople, like there was Chester and Jim. They had a little more of the townspeople involved in some things that were in some episodes. But it was basically just the core people at the inn.
Okay.
So that's what it was.
The group hug that we got.
Yeah, the group hug. Then. Yeah. The finale begins with they're celebrating the 216th anniversary of the Stratford Inn. Mm-hmm. And I actually went back to like what year they said it was built in the first episode, and all that checks out. That timeline checks out. That in
76 or something.
That in 19, it was either 1774 or 1775. But the timeline checks out that it would have been exactly 216 years in 1990.
Good,
from what they said. So they're just, you know, he's giving a speech about. Well, he gave the same speech for 8 years. So he's like, we're glad to be in this town.
And they all knew the words.
And then Mr. Tagadachi, who is a Japanese man visiting in town, says, oh, I love your little village. I've fallen in love with it. And I want to buy the whole town and turn it into a golf course. Mm-hmm. And they're like, the whole town? And he said, well, I'm talking a real big
talking
golf
a very course. Big golf course. This, for anyone who listened to my Bob Newhart show podcast, this show was exponentially better than that show. The show was way better. And I even asked my mom, was it like known that this show was better? Like, did this show get better ratings? And she doesn't really remember.
No, I think they were both
very beloved.
Yes.
Beloved shows.
So. Yeah. The Japanese man says, no, I want to buy everybody's property. Anybody that has a house in town, I'll buy it for $1 million. And he said, bring on the freaking bulldozers.
So, and I originally thought, so when he's pitching this idea to do the golf course and bulldoze everybody's houses, I'm like, I can't wait to see the number. Because I'm like, this is 1990. I can't wait to see the number that he throws out. So when he originally said $1 million, I thought he meant for the whole town. I was like, oh, that's not anything. But then he said per house. I was like, that's a pretty good price for 1990. I mean, that's a ton of money for 1990. So yeah. I was impressed.
So everybody in town sells except
Bob, Dick,
and Harry.
Bob Newhart, yeah.
Bob, Dick, and Harry. I know it's Tom, Dick, and Harry, but I had to make it work. Yeah. But he says, I'm not selling. He's not selling the inn. He loves the Stratford Inn and been there 8 years, and he's staying. Mm-hmm. So everybody in town comes to the inn to say goodbye.
I love Fiddler on the Roof. Some small performance of Fiddler on the Roof. I didn't really understand.
I don't know much about Fiddler on the Roof.
Nor do I.
So I didn't get any of that.
Yeah.
And at any point of this, were you thinking this is weird with the Fiddler on the Roof stuff?
The Fiddler on the Roof scene, I was just like, I don't understand it, but I've never seen Fiddler on the Roof. But yeah, that whole scene, I feel like just could have been done better and sweeter in everybody saying goodbye.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of lost on me because I don't understand any reference that they made. But
yeah,
it was short. So that was good. I mean, it was just kind of quick, but silly. I wasn't super offended by it.
Yeah. I love when Stephanie comes in and she says, well, we're here to say goodbye. So goodbye.
Yeah.
And Joanna says, no hug? No.
She's like, we're friends?
Yeah. She And Joanna says, well, we're friends. And she says, well, why didn't you tell me sooner?
Yeah. She seems very just ditzy and wrapped up in herself.
Michael and Stephanie are the most materialistic and self-absorbed people ever.
Yeah.
And they're perfect for each other.
I enjoyed their characters.
And the thing is, but their characters are likable.
Very likable. It's I thought that was strange.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh gosh, she's like admitting that she talked bad about this woman.
Yeah.
But like, I like her. Like, why is she so funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It amazes me how they made them so horrible, but yet so likable.
Exactly.
It was genius. I don't know what they did.
Yeah.
So anything about this saying goodbye scene stuck out to you?
No, I just, oftentimes, Stephanie referred to it as a hellhole. Nobody really stayed there. I remember in the first episode, it was.
Right.
It was, you know, old and they were fixing it up. I'm assuming throughout the series, they did fix it up. Did it ever become like a booming inn?
I mean, it did. It supported itself. It had guests. It did. When Stephanie talks about it being a hellhole,
she means somewhere she had to work. Somewhere she had to work.
Exactly. And when they make the reference about nobody staying here, that's later. After the Takodachi 5000 room hotel.
Yes.
Yeah. She just
doesn't want to work in general.
Work. Yeah.
Okay. I also thought it was really sweet that George smelled them before he left. I mean, because Michael makes a reference to it.
May I nuzzle your napes that I might remember your scent?
Yes.
Michael always acted this way.
Amazing.
Always.
So when George walked in, he's like, would you like to smell us? And George was like, well, all right. So like he doesn't put up a fight. He's like, okay. And he sniffs them both. I thought that was really sweet.
So then the whole town comes in. They all come around.
Reenact Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah. And then they just walk out.
I was very shocked. I was like, okay, well, I know there's more to the episode, but I was like, where do we go from here? We went places. We went to Japan.
It's 5 years later.
That's a long leap.
They take a long jump here.
I feel like usually we get like a year.
Yeah.
Like 1 year later.
So at this point, what's going through your mind that this is a series finale? What are you thinking?
Yeah. So when we hit the 5 years later mark, I didn't really know what to expect. I knew that this was going to be now about they're in being in the middle of a golf course.
Right.
But I didn't really know what to expect. I wasn't expecting Joanna to be full-blown Japanese. Really funny. I mean, I really enjoyed the scenes in the 5 years in the future. I really thought they were really funny.
Yeah. Because 5 years has passed. And of course, this Japanese man has bought the town and built around them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Joanna has just assimilated.
Yes.
She has just taken on the appearance,
Japanese culture yeah.
everything of a Japanese woman.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob is still Bob. same clothes, same outfit. And the inn kind of has these Japanese looking windows, maybe that's changed a little.
Mm-hmm. It's refurbed a bit.
Yeah, just a little. So he walks in and says, Ohio. Now, is Ohio the Japanese word for hello?
No, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
No, I don't know either.
I have no idea. I wouldn't think so.
But they have a new maid and a new handyman. And the maid is, they're both Japanese, of course. And the maid is named Sadaka.
Konnichiwa is hello.
Oh, okay.
In Japanese.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what Ohio is.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
Well,
so yeah.
Maybe it's just, I don't know.
So yeah, we get pretty much replicas.
Yes.
Ish of George and Stephanie.
Sadaka is the maid and she's just like Stephanie, spoiled rotten, doesn't mm-hmm. want to work.
Mm-hmm.
And the guest says, can I have more coffee? She says, no.
I don't feel like brewing another pot of coffee.
Don't feel like doing it. And then in walks the handyman with George, a hat just like George.
But a suit.
And his name is Sunatra. Now these names, Sadaka and Sunatra, do you recognize?
Neil
and Sadaka Frank. And Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Which is just.
And he said, our gardener, Frank Jr.
Yeah. Frank Sinatra.
Jr. Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know where they got that, but I thought that was
a little silly, but a little funny.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just to throw that in there.
Yeah.
And the handyman and both of them talk about wanting to work at the luxurious 5,000 room Takodachi Hotel and Country Club.
Seems nice. Yeah.
The whole thing.
It's apparently booked
town.
Out years in advance.
And in comes Mr. Takodachi. Mm-hmm. To give Joanna a golf lesson. And Sinatra, the handyman, says, I want to work with you, please. Anything to get me out of here. But he says, I'll do anything. I'll clean up doggy deposit.
Doggy deposit.
And Mr. Takedachi says, it may be 5 years before doggy deposit custodial position opens up.
Yes. So funny.
So Sinatra tries to commit Harry Carey after that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one little thing they did here that I loved is every now and then somebody else, four.
Yes. And they all bent over so that they wouldn't get hit by a golf ball.
And you'd hit a golf ball hit in the house. Bing! I was waiting for a glass to break, but it never
did. Yeah, never did. Yeah. So fun.
It just hit the side. But in the middle of conversations, you'd hear four and the whole cast would just bent over.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved
it. Really was.
So Dick tells him, I made a mistake when I didn't let you buy the inn from me 5 years ago. Can I sell it to you now? Mr. Takedachi says, no, I have respect for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and Dick says, I don't want respect anymore. Yeah. I want out.
Yeah.
But he says, no, I respect that you stood up for your principles. Dick's wishing he had that million cash.
That's right. Yeah, I guess he thought that the inn was going to kind of stay what it was, but without the rest of the town. What's the point?
Exactly.
Nobody's coming to stay there.
Okay, so now we're at the inn, and in comes Michael and Stephanie and little Stephanie.
They're all back. And little Stephanie comes in and says, I'm back. And I was like, who are you?
Well, she looks just like her mother.
Right. And I was assuming that it was her.
She's dressed just like Stephanie used to be, always with a ribbon in her hair. This was in the late 80s, and everybody's shirts matched their socks. I wanted you to know, Eden.
As always.
Because you always made fun of me when you saw pictures of me in the 80s. If you
matching.
Had like a sweatshirt and some jeans, your socks matched your sweatshirt. So
yeah. Of course, it always had to match.
So everybody comes in, and then the whole town comes in because they had decided to meet there 5 years later.
Mm-hmm. Which we were not privy to that conversation. No. We didn't know that that was going to happen.
No, well, Dick even said, yes. Oh, what are you all doing here? And Stephanie said, we all decided to meet back here after 5 years to see if Dick and Joanna were still alive.
Which is yet to be determined. Looks can be deceiving, says Michael.
Yeah. Well, they all say, oh, and who's your lovely new wife?
Yes. Yeah. And her hair looks so real.
Yeah. They really think Joanna's a Japanese woman.
Yeah.
And then in comes Larry, Daryl, and Daryl with their three wives in tow. But there was a microphone floating on top the screen at
yes.
this point.
Yes.
That was a little distracting.
Yeah, I saw it. I was like, okay, that's not supposed to be there.
No, we're not supposed to see the microphone. But anyway, their wives come in. Did you recognize one of their wives?
Lisa Kudrow.
Yes.
Immediately. Terrible acting. I didn't like it.
Really?
It's just weird to see her in anything but Phoebe.
I was wondering if you recognize. Yeah. She had like this black hair.
I immediately was like, Lisa Kudrow?
Black hair. She was a little heavy.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Yeah, she was a little heavy.
Yeah. And the wives start yapping. Mm-hmm. And Daryl and Daryl step up and speak for the first time in 8 years.
Yep.
Quiet.
Was that what they said?
Yeah. What?
I thought they said, shut up.
No, they said quiet. We have little ears listening, so yes. She couldn't say it.
I couldn't say the S word.
Yeah. And somebody said, well, wait, Daryl and Daryl can speak? They've never said anything in 8 years. And Larry said,
I've never been this PO'd before. I thought that was so funny. Yeah, it kind of makes you question why they chose these ladies from Long Island.
Yeah, we're from Long Island.
Yeah.
Flora, Dora, and Kathy, or whatever.
Zora, something with a Z, yeah.
But the town says they all missed each other, and they miss their little town a lot. Mm-hmm. Even though money can buy you happiness, yes, it can.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't come back because there's no place to stay.
Nope.
All their houses were bulldozed, and Joanna says, we'll stay at the Stratford Inn. Nobody ever stays here. So they decide everybody's going to stay.
Everybody's going to move in.
Yeah, they're going to do room assignment.
This is when I kind of thought something might be up.
Okay.
Because I was like, logistically, there's no way that they're all going to fit. And if they did, this is going to prompt a spinoff. This is not how the show is going to end with everybody moving back in. I just feel like there's so many storylines from that point forward that could be had that like, there's no way this is how it's going to end. And then we see very quickly that it's not.
Right. So they're all talking about room assignments. Larry, Daryl, and Daryl want to be in a separate room from their wives.
From their wives.
Preferably in another state.
Yes.
And everybody's just talking and talking. And Joanna's talking about communal baths, just like we do in Japan. Yeah. And Bob's going, what is wrong with you? Can anybody even hear me? Nobody's paying attention. He's like, I got to get out of this place. I got to get out of this nut house. And he's running to the door and you hear, four. Here comes another golf ball. He opens the door to walk out and a golf ball conks him right in the temple.
Hits him right in the noggin.
And he falls to the ground. Mm-hmm. What were you thinking at this point, Eden?
I thought that he was going to wake up surrounded by everyone.
Right.
I didn't think I was going to get what I got.
Okay. So he does wake up and tell us what happened.
He wakes up in the iconic graph paper sheets. Is that why you mentioned the sheets? Yeah.
Would it have been as easy if you would have recognized that bedroom, you think?
I don't know if I would have recognized the bedroom as easily just because I hadn't seen him and Joanna's bedroom.
Right. Okay. True.
So I don't think I would necessarily would have been like, oh, that's not him and Joanna's bedroom.
Right.
But yeah, thanks to the sheets and the sheets that matched the lamps.
The lamps.
The lampshades mm-hmm. also were graph paper.
Yeah.
But yeah, I instantly knew where we were.
And what did you think?
My jaw dropped.
Did it really?
It really did. I was like, are you looking at me? Because I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I just thought that was so cool. But weird.
Like, we are back on the Bob. In case anybody who doesn't know.
Yeah. Sorry. We didn't really clarify.
His previous, I don't know anybody who wouldn't know this. His previous show was the Bob Newhart Show, mm-hmm. which had ended 12 years prior.
Yeah.
And what he did was he wakes up in bed with Emily Hartley, who was his wife on that show, the previous show. And it's the exact replica of the set. They rebuilt the set and he wakes her up and she turns over.
Back in her deep voice. And it got deeper.
Could you tell how deep?
I did not like it. It was so weird.
I told you.
That must be so strange.
On the Bob Newhart podcast, how deep her voice got.
Yeah, yeah, it really did.
Still, she's beautiful. But
for sure.
The voice was deep. But and she's like, what, Bob? He goes, I had a weird dream. I was in this little Vermont town and all of that.
I owned an inn.
He was going on and on about it. And then he says, I was married to this beautiful blonde. And she's like, all right, Bob, no more Japanese food before bed. So
Good night, Bob.
They roll over and go back to sleep. And then all of a sudden she wakes up and says, what do you mean a beautiful blonde? And then he closes it out with what line?
I don't know.
You know, Emily, you really should wear more sweaters.
Yeah. Oh, because she always wore sweaters.
Because she always wore sweaters.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if it had been a dream, that whole incident with the Japanese people buying out the town and he woke mm-hmm. up and he was still at the inn and all. Mm-hmm. It would have just been, okay, what's weird is that he thought he was ending Bob Newhart's show. We did that mm-hmm. thing and that was a dream.
With a dream.
This is a little different in that this whole show was a dream.
Yeah. I know. Seasons. I was like, is this going to be a theme? Now every show you make me watch is just a dream sequence.
It's weird.
Fool me once, shame on you.
But
no, I loved the way this ended. I had two feelings about it. I really thought it was unique. I thought it was super mm-hmm. cool. Like, I was like, I did not see that coming. But then I kind of felt another way about it. Like, it just kind of like it makes everything less valid. Like, all the characters and his wife and Stephanie and George. And I'm like, oh, that's sad. Like, they never existed. Like, yeah. It's kind of, and I'm like, they don't get that glory of doing the last scene.
Right.
Like, you know, I love finales where it's like everybody's together and it's emotional and you kind of get that last scene, that last picture of them. And this was like going 12 years back and you're like, I feel like they got robbed of that moment. Now, after it ended, we did see them like taking their bow and cutting a cake and we got a little bit into that. But yeah, I really thought it was unique, but it made me sad for the rest of the characters that didn't really get that full big send off. And I guess they kind of did a little bit of goodbyes when they left the first time.
Yeah.
So they got a little bit of a send off. But yeah.
So now for a little bit of trivia about this iconic sitcom finale. So this ending was the idea of Bob Newhart's wife, Jenny.
Okay.
They were talking. He knew that next year was going to be his final year.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife, Jenny, said, you know, you should make it all be a dream. because Dallas had just recently done that, where one whole season was a dream.
Oh, wow.
That the season Bobby died and then she
spoiler alert.
And Bobby's in the shower. Oh, right. Everybody knows about this. But a whole different take on it is the wife said, why don't you wake up in bed with Emily?
That is amazing.
From the Bob Newhart show. And they had talked about it like over dinner with Suzanne Pleshette one night. And she's like, oh, they'll never let you do that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then like she says, about 2 years later, she gets a call from the producers of Newhart. And this interview with her is online on YouTube.
Right.
She gets a call from the producers and she says, oh, hi. And they said, do you know what we're calling about? She says, I know what you're calling about. They said, you do? And she said, yeah, it was all a dream. And they said, yeah. And Suzanne Pleshette said, the network's going to let you do this? And they said, yeah. So the script was written, but a fake script was written where Bob Newhart dies, or excuse me, Dick Loudon dies.
Right, right, right.
When the golf ball hits him. He goes up to heaven and he meets God. And God was played by George Burns. George Burns was like a 100-year-old actor at the time.
Okay.
And he's long gone now, but he was like big back then. So that leaked out. So that's what everybody thought. They thought when he got hit with that ball, we all thought he was going to die.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because that is what got leaked. But nobody knew. The only person who knew was the people who wrote it, Bob Newhart and his wife, Suzanne Pleshette.
Yeah.
And the people who had, and the director, obviously, and the people who had to build the set.
But nobody else in the cast
the
knew?
The cast did not know.
Wow.
The cast and the crew, the cameramen and all, were told 15 minutes before they filmed it, we have another scene to film. They were like, what do you mean another scene? They said, just hold on. We got one more thing to film.
Wow.
And the set was built recreating Bob Hartley and Emily Hartley's bedroom, but a curtain was put up. So nobody could see what that set was.
Right.
So nobody knew. And then they said when that curtain came up, the audience gasped. And then when she sat up in bed, the audience went wild.
I can't even imagine.
They went, nobody was expecting it. Yeah. The audience went crazy.
How did people accept this finale? Did people like it? Did fans of the show like it?
Loved it. As a matter of fact, it says here that according to Rolling Stone magazine, this finale is the number one best sitcom finale of all time.
Wow. I would kind of agree. It was really, really good.
Also, TV Guide has the list of the top 5 most momentous moments in television history.
Uh-huh.
Not just sitcom, momentous moment in
television history.
History.
And this was one.
Television history. Number one was Landing on the Moon.
Oh my gosh.
There it is.
Yeah.
Landing on the Moon, Lucy and the Candy Factory.
Wow. Yep. Pretty iconic moment.
3 and 4 is John salutes the casket at JFK's funeral.
Wow.
Number 4 is The Beatles on Ed Sullivan. And number 5.
Wow. Newhart final episode.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Top 5 out of 100.
On all of TV. Wow. That's awesome.
It really does. To this day, it's talked about as the greatest finale of all time. So, I mean, I'm sure there are some people out there who disagree.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, making it a dream sequence was one thing, but then referencing it back to Bob and Emily Hartley was genius.
Yeah.
And Bob Newhart said, we knew we were taking a chance.
Yeah, because making it a dream sequence just of him and Joanna, like when they were still living in the city, like, oh, I had a dream, we bought an inn. Like, well, that's not fun.
No.
Like, who cares?
No.
But to bring it back to Bob Newhart show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is really cool.
Yeah. And Suzanne Pleshette said they hid her in a trailer 2 sound stages over for 6 hours waiting to shoot that scene.
Wow.
And she said, and then they just brought her in at the last minute. And then she said, you know, at the end of the episode, which we got to see, there's like a little wrap party and they cut the cake and all the producers and everybody comes in. It's a party they do at the end of a series. And she said she decided to sneak out during the wrap party. She did not stay. She said, out of respect for the cast, mostly Mary Fran, she said, not my show, not my party.
Good.
This was not about me.
I like that.
She just left.
That's
and everybody's
classy.
Like, well, come in and take a picture when they cut the cake. She said, no.
No.
No. And she left.
I love that because that is very classy because I would agree having her there is kind of like, why are you here? Like you don't need to be in the picture.
Right.
It's like a family reunion picture when people who aren't family get in. It's just like, what are you doing here? Like, you just happen to be here on this day. And so you don't get to be in the photo. But I would agree. It's a very classy
move. Not that we've ever experienced anything like that.
It's a very classy move of her to just kind of sneak out because no, even if she thought, you know, maybe I'll say I'm going to leave. Everybody would have been like, no, stay. But if you just sneak out, it doesn't give anybody a chance to protest. I think that's a very classy move. Yeah.
Very classy move.
Because you have to give them, you know, it's bad enough that you're essentially saying their whole life and their whole part of the show was a dream, but at least give them their rap party. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And it seems as though it was obviously from what you read and see. And if you Google it and see, it still goes down as one of the greatest ever that people accepted it. You know, it was just so genius and it was so great. And it kind of like, I wanted so bad to see like what you, that moment, if you, you couldn't,
I had
you
no
might
clue.
Have suspected it was a dream, but you didn't suspect he was going to wake up in bed with Emily Hartley.
I didn't even suspect it was a dream. There was a point towards the end of the episode where I was like, this is kind of getting too jokey.
Yeah.
And that's the difference that I saw between the Bob Newhart show and Newhart is that everybody knows the episode that I watched of Bob Newhart show. I kind of thought was a little silly and jokey and a little Gilligan's Island, like just a little stupid.
But why?
But because it was a dream sequence.
Exactly.
But with this one, it was far more believable the entire time.
Yeah.
And then towards the end started getting a little silly.
Yeah.
Like with Joanna becoming pretty much Japanese and everybody moving back into the inn.
The fiddler
was just
on
like,
the roof scene.
Yeah. I was just like, this is getting a little silly. And I thought that, but I didn't immediately go to dream sequence, which you would think I would just having watched the Bob Newhart show.
Exactly.
But I didn't. I just thought he was going to wake up and maybe, you know, maybe just the 5 years later was going to be a dream or something. I didn't know. Or I thought maybe not at all a dream. But yeah, I had no idea it was going to go back 12 years. That was awesome.
So let's do the regular things we do. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about this Newhart show, this episode. Mm-hmm. Who were your favorite characters in this episode? Character or characters?
Gosh, I really liked everybody. I know my original favorite from Newhart was George. I liked them all. I liked Stephanie. I liked George. I mean, Bob's the only one that I really didn't care for.
No,
he was
like
just
him.
Such a dud.
But his name's Dick, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
But I love Dick because I love the way he stumbles and he's just, always awkward. But I love that. I put here favorite characters. Love Joanna, love Dick, love Stephanie, love George.
Yeah.
I love them all.
They're all, I like them all.
Yeah.
I really did.
Humor meter.
Humor meter is like a 9.
Yeah. It was
this
great.
Show is good.
Yeah.
I think I liked the first episode. Mm-hmm. I think I thought it was funny. I don't really remember my opinion of the pilot episode. But I thought it was good. And yeah, it's still just as funny. It's a really good show.
Watchability meter. You watch an episode of this. How prone are you to say, I want to watch more?
9.5.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Again, I remember when I watched the first episode, I was like, I'd watch more.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad now that I've seen the finale. It makes you want to watch more in between. It seems like a really funny show. And it seems like the cast really works well together.
I'm going to make a two favorite moment and LOL moment.
Yes. So favorite moment, I think, is just the very end when it's all a dream. I thought that was awesome. LOL. I don't know. I laughed out loud a lot at this. I mean, you were with me watching it. I laughed the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't specifically remember one like joke that I thought was extremely funny. I thought everything that Michael said was funny. Everything he said was an LOL moment for me. Yeah.
I liked every time they did 4 and they bow down so they wouldn't get hit with a golf ball. And I liked when George smelled them both. I thought that was funny.
So sweet.
Because he was like, okay.
All right. Yeah, no protest.
Smelled them, you know. And then obviously favorite moment was that end. It was, every time it never gets old. I remember the first time I saw it, my mind was blown.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get that feeling. It's just, I love it so much. It's so iconic. So any final thoughts, Eden, on this? The word classic doesn't describe this episode, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't even know how to describe it. It's so great.
Yeah, it's a really good episode. It's one of the best I've seen.
And a series finale to send it off that way. It just was fantastic.
Yeah, I loved it.
All right. Well, that's great.
I know. Awesome.
And
what a great episode for my 10th time.
Yeah. It's roundy round because it rounds out Newhart. I always said when we did the pilot episode, I wanted to go back and revisit. So this is the first time we've gone back and revisited.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to do it on the heels of you doing the Bob Newhart show
right.
for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. I didn't want you to forget things.
I would have.
You know, so that's why I was kind of rushing you. Like, we got to do these together without letting on too much.
Right. Yeah.
but thank you because
you're welcome.
We've done a little marathon podcasting today.
Yes.
So thank you, Eden, so
you're
much.
Welcome.
And instead of saying goodbye, what are we going to say?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, everybody.
This is Michelle, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Old TV with a New Twist. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on your Apple Podcast app. And join our Facebook group, Old TV with a New Twist Podcast Group, and tell us what you'd like to hear us talk about, and we'll keep you informed of what's to come. We'll be back next month with a whole new episode of Old TV with a New Twist.